Good morning. You guys doing all right? Okay, that's pretty weak, but I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. Like my dad said, my name is Zach. I oversee our high school ministry here. I'm so excited to be with you and have the honor and privilege to preach to you and with you today. You can call me Zach, or you can just call me by my legal name, Dave's son. Whichever works for you, both work very well. But we are in this series, Love God, Love People. And we're looking at what does it mean to love God and love people. And last week, we kicked off our series, and we saw that we should spend time with God because of his goodness and because of his glory. We should have a QT, a quiet time, where we seek the Lord, we pray, we read our Bibles, we journal, we have a conversation with God, we connect with our Heavenly Father. And we saw that God should be the desire, the dependency, and the devotion of our heart. And so today, we're going to piggyback on this series. We're going to look at, hey, because of God's love for us, what does that make us? And because of what it makes us, what do we do next? Because our faith is based on believing and receiving, but it's also based on doing. And it's based on loving God and loving people. And you can't do that without love. Love is an action. It's something that we do. So today should be a good time. If you have your Bible, open it up to Colossians chapter 3. But I need to have everyone kind of do something with me. You're gonna be like, oh, this is just a youth pastor explanation, whatever. I need you to buckle in, okay? So take your seatbelt and strap it over and click it in. Because we're about to take off. Usually in a message, it's like a slow incline, like an airplane. It's just kind of like, oh, this is nice. No, we're going straight. We're going 0 to 1,000,000 miles an hour right now. So buckle up. We're in the book of Colossians. And in the book of Colossians, there's a lot of stuff that's called doctrine. Everyone say doctrine. Doctrine is all over in the Bible. It's the heavy stuff. When I read it, it makes my brain kind of hurt. I say, whoa. I'm like, whoa. I cannot even understand all of this completely. And I've been, you know, I inherited a genetically small brain. So it's kind of, you know, it's on me. So it's on my dad, but it's on me too. And so when I read doctrine, I'm confused, but also I'm happy because of what it means. Because doctrine is what God has done for us from a spiritual standpoint. And that's what we're going to be looking at in Colossians. It's the fact that, hey, we have been saved. God has done this thing, and now we can have acceptance because of that. And so you might have already made that decision. You might be following God. You might be in a relationship with Jesus. And for others of you, you don't even know what I just said. You don't know what doctrine is. You don't know what salvation is. You're like, what's going on? So no matter where you are, we're going to understand two things today. Number one, what did God do for us? And number two, what do we do now? Because you either need to know what he did or you need a reminder of what he did. Does that make sense? Excellent. So, what did God do for us? Great question. Everyone say sin. Sin is the bad stuff in our lives. It's the wrong things that we do each and every day that we know we shouldn't be doing. And sin is what separates us from God, because we were supposed to be like this with God. And our sin separates us. And God hates sin. He can't stand sin. And sin has a very serious punishment, which is actually death. The wages of sin is death. Maybe you've heard that in the book of Romans. It's a lot of doctrine. The price that we should pay for our sin is death. So if we go around our entire lives living the way that we want to live, saying the things that we want to say, doing the things that we want to do, and we never seek God and his forgiveness, we are going to live eternally separated from him. And so our Bible, it's split up into two parts. We have the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, God creates this system, and he gives his people laws and rules. And he says, follow these laws and follow these rules, and we'll be okay. We'll be connected. We'll be tight. But I don't know about you, but people like me, I can't stop sinning. I just sin over and over and over again. And so God's system is this. Because of your sin, you have been separated, but I'm going to give you something to do that can now make us complete. You need to sacrifice an animal. You need to sacrifice a perfect, blameless, innocent animal. And instead of you dying on behalf of your sin, this animal would die on behalf of your sin. You tracking with me? This is doctrine. This is heavy. My small brain hurts. How does your brain feel, okay? How many animals do you think were sacrificed thousands of years ago? I'll just say this. PETA would be upset, okay? They would not be happy with God's people years and years ago. But here's the plan. Follow these rules. Follow these laws. If you don't, sacrifice that animal. But God, part of his original plan, he kind of makes, he adjusts the plan. It was the plan, but he kind of has this new plan because God wanted to be with his people. There was a disconnect between God and his people. And so he wants to be on earth with his people. So what does he do? He sends his one and only son, Jesus. And so Jesus comes to earth. And we celebrated that in Christmas time in December, and we're going to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection in a few weeks. This series is leading us up to Easter. Because of Jesus' arrival, we can have his death, we can have his burial, and we can have his resurrection because Jesus, the perfect, innocent sacrifice, he took all of our sin and he put it on the cross. And because of that, we can live with him. And Jesus becomes our sacrificial lamb, our sacrificial animal. You with me? Still tracking? Good. Sin equals death. Sin separates us from God. But whoever believes in him will have eternal life. Believe in Jesus. Receive grace, even though we deserve to die. And so what happens is we put our faith in Jesus. We say, Jesus, you're in control. My life I live is not for me. It's for you. And so we get saved. We have salvation. Can I hear an amen for all those saved people in the room? Okay? And once you do that, once you accept Jesus, the Bible tells us we have now been what's called justified. Everyone say justified. When we are justified, we are made righteous. We are made righteous. Imagine you are on trial for all of the sin you have committed. I bet there's a lot. For me, there's a lot. And so I'm on trial and you're on trial and God is our judge. And we hand him our file of sin. It should kill us, right? The wages of sin is death. We should die because of our sin. But because we have been justified, because we have been made right, God opens our file and there's no sin in the file. There's only a word that says justified, righteous, made right. And that's good news. That's the best news that I've ever heard in my entire life. And some of you, you might have never heard that news. You might have never believed that news. And I hope and pray if that's you, if that's the camp that you're in, later today, you're going to have a chance to declare that Jesus, I know my sin should kill me, but I'm going to align myself with you and your son on the cross because we are not saved by doing good things. We are not saved by giving this amount of money to a charity or to a church or by keeping some law. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And because he goes to the cross, he cancels our debt. He cancels our sin. This is doctrine. This is heavy. This makes me say, whoa. And so for some of us, we've made that decision. So what do we do now? What do we do now that we have made that decision to follow Jesus? Whenever you see or read doctrine in your Bible, there is a shift. I'm saying that word carefully. There is a shift. There is a transition from doctrine to conduct. It's this idea of I've been made right, so now what do I do? Because when we have been made right, we have been called to live differently. This is the part we don't like very much because it takes a lot of sacrifice, it takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of love. But we are called to conduct ourselves in a different manner than before. But we get made right, and we should be doing the things that we should be doing, but we're not. But the thing is, because we're justified, we are now to be what's called sanctified. Everyone say sanctified. Sanctified means being different, being holy, being set apart, more godly, more Christ-like. But what happens is we get made right, but we don't act like it because, like an athlete who trains each and every day, like an athlete who has a playbook and they study the playbook and they go over the offense and they just drill and drill and drill. Those old ways, that playbook becomes our second nature. And we live so long without God, we live so long without Jesus that there's something in our nature that's bound to stick around. It's bound to not be fully God-honoring and God-loving. And so when we get made right, we get a new playbook. But that old playbook is still there. And so that's why we have to drill and practice each and every day, because our new playbook will lead us to sanctification. You cannot expect a quarterback to be in one offense, to have one coach, to be in one system his entire life, and then move to a new team with a new coach and a new system and win the Super Bowl, unless you're Tom Brady, but I don't see any goats in this room, okay? So you gotta work on your new playbook. This new playbook is the art and act of sanctification, being set apart, being different, being more Christ-like. But our tendency is that our old ways, our old plays, our old habits, our old behaviors, they're still around. But there's a connection to what we believe and how we behave. And if you don't rid yourself of your old habits, if you let sin creep back into your life, bad things happen. Maybe we should see what Colossians says. So let's open our Bibles. But before we get to chapter 3, we need to see what it says in chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. This is what it says. When you were dead in your sins, when you were what in your sins? Dead. Okay, you're following along. And in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you what with Christ? Say it again. Say it like you mean it. Alive! He made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. We were in the court of law, and our sin should have condemned us. But he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. That's doctrine. Say doctrine. Colossians 2. What did God do? Colossians 3, what do we do next? Here's what it says, Colossians 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Once we have been made right, we need, number one, a new point of view. Paul the Apostle, he's writing this. He says, set your hearts and set your minds on things above. When you align your view with God's view, sanctification becomes more attainable. It starts to become easier. When you do that, change can take place in your heart and in your mind and in your life. You're no longer concerned with these earthly things or your earthly nature, which consists of Colossians 3, 5 through 8. This is what it says. Put to death whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Paul is continuing on from chapter 3, verse 1. Because you have been raised with Christ, because you have now set your heart and mind on things above, this is what you need to get rid of. You need to put to death your sexual immorality, your impurity, your lust, your evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now You must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Everyone said, uh-oh. Because we still got those things in our life. We still have those things in our playbook. We still have those things as our second nature. 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee from sexual immorality. In our junior high and high school services on Wednesday night, we have been in a love, sex, and dating sermon series. We have been trying to teach our kids what does it mean and what does it look like to flee from sexual immorality. You have to run away. You have to hide from it. You have to destroy it. Impurity, lust, evil desires. If it is not God-loving, if it is not God-honoring, you need to get rid of it because the wrath of God is coming. Greed, idolatry, it can consume us. Who loves things? Who loves stuff? I mean, I'll be honest. I like money, okay? I'm in the wrong profession, but I like money. I like the feeling of dollar bills in my hands. And each night I take my $6 and I throw it up in the air and I have a little party and it is so great. But this money can become idolatry. Whatever is taking place of God is an idol. And so for you, maybe it's that new house. Maybe it's the vacation spot. Maybe it's a new car. I got to tell you a story about a new car. This is a good story. My dad got a new car like a couple days ago. And I drove it when he wasn't home. I said, "Mom, I gotta take his car out for a spin." She said, "Okay, he's not here. Go for it." So I get in the car. I'm with my wife. I'm with my cousin. And the first thing that I do in this brand new car is I pull out into the driveway and I roll the windows down because Friday was a beautiful day. It was 65 and sunny. So I'm driving out Shepherd to Willow to Fryant, and I kind of make this little loop. And it was magical. I did not wreck the car. I'm not going there, okay? What happened is, later that evening, I'm eating dinner with my family, and my dad says, "Heard you took my car out for a spin." I said, "Yeah, I sure did." He goes, "You didn't roll the windows down, did you?" I said, "Of course I did. Of course I rolled the windows down. It was, what do you mean? It was a perfect day." He said, "Sue Whale, why did you let him do that? I just got the windows tinted. They're not supposed to be rolled down for 4 days." My dad's view was on these earthly things. He did not have a heavenly mindset. His idolatry was consuming him. The windows are fine, okay? I didn't know. That leads me to number two. I hope we read these things, and I hope we recognize that number two, we need a new nature. We need a new playbook. We need to make God's word, God's instruction, our second nature. We have to learn and study the new plays. We have to be disciplined, and we need to strive towards the goal of sanctification, being different, being set apart. I have a picture of a baby pig. He's cute, right? Oh man, he's adorable. Don't get too carried away, because this little piggy, okay? This little piggy is like you and your sin. And at first, it seems pretty cute. It seems pretty innocent. It seems pretty adorable. And what happens is that because of Jesus, we're supposed to have this new view and a new nature. But the thing is, our old selves still rule over us. And the sexual immorality, the lust, the evil desires, the anger, the rage, and the filthy language still controls our lives. And what happens if you let lust and sexual immorality rule your life? If you keep running towards sexual immorality, what's going to happen in your current relationship or your future relationship? If you keep clicking to that certain website, is that going to help your marriage or hurt your marriage? If evil desires consume your thoughts and your feelings, what is that going to do? Is that going to make you set apart, or is that just going to make you blend in with everyone else? If you stay angry, If you stay angry, how many people are you gonna hurt on that path? If we can't forgive the people around us, if we can't forgive ourselves, is that gonna be constructive or destructive? If we rage at our friends, spouses, our children, what is that going to do to the relationships that matter most? Is it going to prolong them or is it going to destroy them? Filthy language flies out of our mouths. Are we going to set a good example? Are we going to cause a war? Are we going to cause a riot? Are we going to offend someone that we don't want to offend? What happens if we cannot rid ourselves of our old ways? If we can't get our things in order? If we can't control ourselves? If our new view gets out of focus? If we stop setting our minds and our hearts on things above, our old nature will rule our new nature, and that cute, sweet, baby, innocent pig is going to look like this guy. You laugh, but that's some of us. That's me. And if we keep feeding this pig, this monstrosity is going to be running through our household. It's going to be ruling over us, consuming everything in sight, paving a path of destruction. And no one wants to hang out with something that looks like that. We gotta stop feeding our pigs. We have to stop letting our old habits consume the newness that we have in Christ. Because we have been justified in him, we cannot let our second nature, our old nature, rule over us. Let's continue in Colossians 3, 9 through 14. This is what it says. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices and you have put on the what? New self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here, there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, because Christ is all, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, with kindness, with humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, what's it say? Put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Which leads to number three. We need a new wardrobe. Once we have been made right, we need a new view, a new nature, and a new wardrobe. All the ladies say, amen. We are going shopping. We get a new wardrobe. We get some spiritual clothes. But here's what happens. Does anyone have a favorite t-shirt? Raise your hand. Does anyone have a t-shirt? Maybe it's a little baggy. I heard this. I didn't know this was a thing. A bacon collar, okay? Maybe you got some stains under your pits. Maybe it kind of has a distinct smell to it. Maybe there's some coffee stains on it or some paint stains or something. I literally have all kinds of shirts like this, okay? Because they're comfortable and they're cozy and I don't like throwing them away because I know where I was when I got it and I know why I got it and I want to keep it forever. That shirt is like my old nature hanging out in my wardrobe. With our new view and our new nature and our new wardrobe, we got to get rid of those old, smelly, pit-stained shirts. That is our old self trying to linger around, trying to crawl and claw back into our lives. If I have a new wardrobe and I have new shirts, but the old ones are still in the closet, I'm going to wear that old shirt. I'm going to wear that old shirt. With our new views, natures, and wardrobes, those are the things that set us apart. Those are the things that sanctify us. Those are the things that make us different. Because if we love God, we have to set our hearts and our minds on things above. We can't revert back to our old habits. We can't wear that smelly t-shirt. We have a new wardrobe. And we get this new self that we get to wear. Because we, through Jesus, have become a new creation. And we get to clothe ourselves with kindness, compassion, humility, gentleness, patience. And I don't know about you, but I need more of that in my life. Not lust, not anger, not greed, but kindness, gentleness, and patience. And because of Jesus, we get to put on this new wardrobe. Verse 14 says this, listen again, over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. If you love God, you need to wear his love. If you love God, you need to wear his love. But Zach, I thought you said earlier that God doesn't see your sin once you accept him. Yes, that is correct. But just because he doesn't see the sin, does that mean we should keep on sinning? No way. Paul was writing to the church in Colossae because these people had believed in Jesus. They had accepted Jesus, but they had some false teachers preaching and teaching to the churchgoers, it's okay to feed that pig. It's okay to wear that old robe or that old tunic, even though it smells. And Paul is reminding God's people there is a connection to what we believe and how we behave. Our beliefs are connected to our actions. And because God loved us and because we're accepted through him, we should have a new point of view, a new nature, and a new wardrobe. And so there's a shift. There's a shift that happens. We move once from death to life. And everyone says amen for that. That is the salvation through the blood of Jesus. We move from death to life. But then there is a lifelong journey, a lifelong shift each and every day that we have to move from justification to sanctification. Because as Christians, as people, there's still always something that needs to be surrendered. There's still some old way. There's still some old playbook that is lingering around. There's some baby pig that we keep on feeding. And somewhere, I bet there's a closet full of old, stinky t-shirts that need to be thrown away. What part of your life, what part of your mind, what part of your heart is still under the old way of life? What do you need to surrender today? I hope you hear these words and they just don't go. We do that a lot. We say, oh man, good point. I'm not going to do anything about it. If you need to do something about it, I hope and I pray that you name whatever it is you need to change, and I hope and pray that you conquer it, because if we love God, we will surrender it over to him, because his justification calls us to sanctification. And so maybe for some of us, it is our sexual immorality. Maybe we need to schedule an honest conversation with our spouse. Maybe we need someone in our lives to hold us more accountable. Maybe it's a different addiction. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe you need to check yourself into rehab. Maybe you need to try out our regen ministry that meets Monday nights. Maybe it's our anger. Maybe it's our rage that lives inside of us. We have like this Jekyll and Hyde or this Hulk that just comes out of us that we need to surrender today. Maybe it's our greed. Maybe we're cheating on our taxes, stealing from work, finagling corners. Maybe we're using our influence, our power for our own personal gain or benefit. Maybe it's idolatry. Maybe it's the new car with the tinted windows. What has gotten in the way of your relationship with God? What has become the number one priority in your life? Is it work? Is it money? Is it a house? Is it your family? Not bad things. But when they take that number one spot, we need to reset our focus and our hearts and our minds on things above. Is it our filthy language? Do we have that foul mouth where we like to express ourselves in different ways? We need to surrender our words to the Lord today. Some of us haven't heard what God did for us. I hope you heard that today. I tried to explain that. God sent his son to die for us on our behalf so we didn't have to. Instead of our sin costing us, Jesus took it and he nailed it to the cross. Some of you have made that decision. However, you would identify yourself as justified, but you struggle with the whole sanctified part. You've been made new. You went from death to life, but that pig is being fed. He keeps growing, and soon enough, he's going to be ruining and ruling over your life. I want you to know that you can make a decision today. You can set your heart and your mind on things above. You can see things with a new point of view. Again, you're going to have to study the playbook. It's going to have to become your second nature. But you can toss away those old, sweaty, smelly t-shirts, and you can clothe yourself in kindness, compassion, and love. But I also said, if you hadn't heard, if you weren't aware of what God has done, you could have a chance later in the service to declare, God, I recognize my sin should kill me. I know I deserve death, but today I want to be made right. I want to be justified. I want to be made righteous in your eyes. And in a few moments, you can come down and you can declare that. You can be baptized. You can receive prayer, whatever you need. We're going to have some people down here who want to help you, and we want to cheer you on and celebrate whatever decision you have to make. But today we can say, God, I love you. I want to follow you. I want to be justified, and I want to move to being sanctified. Imagine what your life would look like if you accepted Jesus today. When you go to work tomorrow, how is that going to change the way you see things? How is that going to change the way you see your coworkers? Is that going to change the way that you do things? Is it going to change the way that you get dressed? You can put on kindness and love and compassion, not greed, idolatry, or lust. And imagine if you've made that decision, but you need to be reminded to stop feeding your pig. What is going to change in your life? What are you going to surrender today? Is your marriage going to get stronger? Are your relationships going to be healthier? Are the words you say going to lift people up and not tear them down? It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are. There is always something that needs to be surrendered in your life, in your heart, in your mind. Don't let today go by without making a decision. We had 5 student baptisms on Wednesday night. We have some more student baptisms that are going to take place. The water's warm. We are ready for you. Clothe yourself in God's love. And if you have a decision that you need to make today, let's stand and let's sing, and you can come down to the front if you need to.